It's Tuesday, the 30th of September. This is your Biz News Briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. Today we hear explosive testimony from the Madlanga Commission. The SIU reveals the devastating plunder of public funds. Gold hits a new all-time high while Mark Bristow departs the helm of the world's second largest gold company. That's with immediate effect. And Israel vows to finish Hamas if they reject the peace plan. In an explosive testimony before the Madlanga Commission, former crime intelligence boss, Lieutenant General Dumisani Khumalo has lifted the lid on a powerful drug cartel known only as the Big Five, with alleged ties to senior politicians, law enforcement, and private security. The syndicate is accused of orchestrating a wave of tender fraud, kidnappings, contract killings, and when all else fails, cash in transit heists and ATM bombings. Khumalo, who led crime intelligence until June this year, didn't just make claims. He brought WhatsApp messages and hard evidence to back his allegations up. He warns of a justice system under siege where criminal networks have allegedly captured key officials to suppress investigations and obstruct prosecutions. Here's an excerpt from what he told the commission.
The main operational area of leadership for the cartel is in Gauteng, but the operational provinces, they are mainly KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, for various reasons. Gauteng, as I've indicated, it's an economic heart of the country where most of businesses, as well as headquarters of targeted institutions, are situated. KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, they are significant for their capability in terms of ports and transportation infrastructure, especially between Gauteng and KZN. The Eastern Cape, which is not so dominant in terms of economy, but then it's targeted because it makes it easier to expand the movement between Western Cape, Gauteng, and KwaZulu-Natal. The cartel operates not differently from normal employment in terms of the members receiving regular income for financial stability, which is a competition for the normal employment channels or environments that we have in the country.
While the country reels from revelations of cartel infiltration at the highest levels, another bombshell has landed, this time from the heart of South Africa's public healthcare system. The Special Investigating Unit has released a damning interim report exposing the staggering scale of corruption at Tembisa Hospital. The investigation was sparked by whistleblower Babita Dekeran, who flagged suspicious tenders in 2021, just days before she was assassinated outside of her home in Winchester Hills. Now, the SIU confirms what many feared, a devastating 2 billion rand fraud network operated within the hospital, siphoning public funds meant for life-saving care. Advocate Andy Mutibi, head of the SIU, briefed the media on the findings, laying bare a system riddled with manipulation, ghost suppliers, and brazen abuse of procurement processes. Here's an excerpt from his briefing.
We can reveal today, through our investigation, through the SIU investigation, that evidence has revealed a number of maladministration, corruption, and other public procurement irregularities. This indeed would be described as devastating plunder of the public funds, which we found in our probe. We have uncovered, or the investigation has uncovered, up to date, 3 coordinated syndicates responsible for the loss of over 2 billion.
We've been collating voices from the private sector and investigating their thoughts on where South Africa finds itself at the moment. Alex spoke to Brett Levy, CEO and co-founder of Blue Label, for an in-depth look at his Blue Label journey. Alec also asked him for his insights on South Africa. Let's dip into that conversation.
I love South Africa. I think South Africa just has so much to offer. I think, you know, we look at it and there's certain things we just, there's own goals and we could just do so much better as a country. I think we all know that. I think we just don't want to draw a line in the sand, as I say, on certain things. But, you know, I'm fortunate enough, I've got to travel around the world on business and on holiday, whatever it may be. And, you know, it's not, the grass is not green on the other side. We've got something special here. We've got to try and just hopefully keep it because, you know, the option of going to other countries, of course, they exist. And going to other countries is possible. But for me, I hope my kids grow up in South Africa. And that's quite unusual because young kids are looking to move or whatever they're doing. My kids are different. I've got 2 out of school. They want to come into Blue Label. They want to stay in South Africa. So we've obviously done a good job, my wife and I, of South Africa itself. And I hope it changes. I hope South Africa becomes what South Africa can be because I would like to be here for the rest of my life and I'd like my kids and my family to be here. So not easy. This country, you can't make 5-year decisions. I think you got to make like 1 or 2 year decisions because things change like they change. But we have a uniqueness and we have a culture of people in this place that is quite unique to the world. So yeah, I'm one of those that are hoping that we are okay. I really do, eh?
Discover Southern Africa with DCC Hotel Group, your trusted partner for a safe African safari. From Serengeti to Cape Town, explore luxury lodges, witness the Big Ten, and savor wines. Enjoy seamless booking, 24-hour support, book with confidence.
Like a soapy breakup scene, selling your car can be an emotional experience.
Just how dramatic was the car selling experience?
Not dramatic at all. I did my research and We Buy Cars was by far the best price.
Very not dramatic. But I like drama.
I was standing there watching my phone, waiting for the money to get in, and there it was.
Yes. Car. Driving.
We Buy Cars. The easiest way to sell your car, by far.
I wouldn't mind a little more drama. Anybody bring me some tears?
You can catch that full interview with Brett Levy on BizNews TV on YouTube. Now, we all know cyber criminals are using sophisticated AI deepfakes and cloned websites to scam unsuspecting South Africans out of their savings. In this revealing interview, forensic investigator Paul O'Sullivan joined Alec Hogg to unpack a recent scam impacting BizNews itself. Again, let's dip into that conversation.
So I carried out my own investigation. I saw that a outfit based in Reykjavik, or purportedly based in Reykjavik, I say based in Reykjavik, but they're actually not based in Reykjavik. The address they gave is the address in Reykjavik for the Bank of Iceland. And right next door is probably the largest, if not the only, penis museum in the world. And they contracted with a company called Namecheap.com, who are based in Phoenix, Arizona. And they did this on Friday morning, in the early hours of Friday morning. And they opened a website called starryivu.space. Now, .space is a new domain name. It's been running for less than a year, I think. And these people have created a domain there. And immediately after creating the domain, they had a ready-made website to slide straight into it, which they did. And then what they do is they start marketing. They do Sublime marketing. And they push it out all over the place on Google, and they pay Google. The American Secret Service is knocking on the door of Google pretty much every other week to find out who's paying them and how they're paying them and so on and so forth. And they advertise, and then people inadvertently click on one of these links, and they'll arrive at a website which looks like either BizNews or in this case, I think the one that you sent me, it looks like News 24, except the layout and everything is the same as News 24. But when you scroll down the side, the most read stories, if you click on any of those, nothing happens, which means they're just there to make it look like News 24. And the same applies to BizNews. And they put stories there which lure people in. They intended to trap people, to make people think, aha, there's money to be made. And the headline on this particular story is 80,000, and this is probably a giveaway because it says 80,000 ZAR a week. Now, nobody would write that in South Africa. They would write that if they're in another country. So there's no rand symbol. It says, a week without the experience, How 10,000 residents of South Africa have already taken advantage of Helen Sill's project and why the banks are against it. And then you click on it, and lo and behold, you're taken to a place where you have to enter your data, and somebody will phone you to explain to you how you're going to make all this money. Meanwhile, you're not going to make any money at all. You're going to hand over your money.
Gold surged to a record, rising as much as 1.6% to an all-time high of $3,819.81 an ounce after notching six straight weekly gains. Jack Ryan reports on Bloomberg Television.
Well, really, over the last few weeks, it's been exchange-traded funds, so basically a big pile of gold, and you own a share of it. That's really what's been driving the gains. They've had, I think, the highest gains in about 3 years this month so far. We'll see how the rest of the month plays out. And that really shows you that it's Western investors in particular, as of late, who have been buying into gold. And that has been driving it higher. And around that, you have the Fed has resumed rate cuts. We know that's good for gold because gold doesn't pay you an interest rate. And then also, I think the firing of, or the attempt on the firing of Lisa Cook was a key moment because it really highlighted this Goldilocks scenario for gold, which could be high inflation and low rates. So you get gold to hedge your inflation and you don't have high rates, making cash more appealing. And so that, I think, is what's happened over the last couple of weeks.
Now,
it's driven
we
it much higher.
Have been talking about gold really all year, even though it's gone up sort of at a measured pace. It's still gone up quite substantially. I mean, we're coming up on, you know, 45-50% here. Does the market think this rally has gone too far and maybe even too fast?
Absolutely. I mean, you can broaden it out. You can look back to late 2022. It's more than doubled since then. Obviously, at this point, then you would have to start asking questions. Is it overbought? I think when you look at some of the data, for example, exchange traded funds holdings, they've been increasing very fast, but they're not at their high point. Central bank buying has been elevated for a while, but it has remained quite consistent. If you look at the positioning data from hedge funds on the futures market, they're not overextended. And so you have, for example, Goldman Sachs. They predict 4,000 by the middle of next year. And they're pointing to this really key trend, which has actually really driven the broader rally, which has been central banks buying.
Yes.
And they say they can see that continuing for another 3 years. So... yeah, we're still uncertain, but a lot of banks say it still has room to run.
Now, while we have gold hitting new highs, two of the biggest gold companies in the world, Newmont Corp and Barrick Mining Corp, both announced a change of leadership. Newmont said Tom Palmer will step down on December the 31st. That's after 6 years at the helm. And he'll be succeeded by Chief Operating Officer Natasha Viljoen. The transition was largely expected. In contrast, however, the departure of Barrick's Mark Bristow one of the most high-profile and outspoken chief executive officers in the mining business, comes as a surprise. Bristow had almost 7 years in the top job following Barrick's acquisition of his previous company, Rand Gold Resources. Barrick executive Mark Hill takes over on an interim basis while the company works to identify a permanent CEO. The abrupt exit of Bristow highlights the operational and political risks faced by the mining industry and the underperformance of gold producer stocks in recent years, despite the rally of the precious metal itself. Barrick has struggled under Bristow's tenure, lagging its rivals, while gold production slumped to the lowest in more than two decades amid operational and political setbacks at its mines around the world. The two announcements are a somewhat unusual coincidence, said Citi analyst Alexander Hacking, adding that Palmer's move was well flagged, while Bristow had previously stated his intention to retire only in 2028. On the geopolitical front, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he supports President Donald Trump's 20-point plan to end the war in Gaza, saying it achieves our war aims. Netanyahu says if Hamas rejects the peace plan, Israel will finish the job.
I believe that today we're taking a critical step towards both ending the war in Gaza and setting the stage for dramatically advancing peace in the Middle East. And I think beyond the Middle East, in very important Muslim countries. I support your plan to end the war in Gaza, which achieves our war aims. It will bring back to Israel all our hostages, dismantle Hamas's military capabilities, end its political rule, and ensure that Gaza never again poses a threat to Israel. We would not have achieved this turning point without the courage and sacrifice of our incredibly brave soldiers. They fight like lions to defend the people of Israel, and they serve on the front line in the war between civilization and barbarism. Mr. President, when our two countries stand shoulder to shoulder, we achieve the impossible. But if Hamas rejects your plan, Mr. President, or if they supposedly accept it and then basically do everything to counter it, then Israel will finish the job by itself. This can be done the easy way, or it can be done the hard way, but it will be done. We prefer the easy way, but it has to be done. All these goals must be achieved because we didn't fight this horrible fight, sacrificed the finest of our young men to have Hamas stay in Gaza and threaten us again and again and again with these horrific massacres.
That brings us to the end of this Biz News briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with more context on both the local and global front. Thanks as always for joining us.